Today we're going to have a look at Solomon. Those of you who take notes, if you didn't receive a little leaflet, there are a few spares over here if you'd like to take one. Today's the day that this weekend is the weekend that we think about Queen's birthday and have a holiday, although it's not her birthday, we know. Whether we're a royalist or whether we're a Republican or whether we don't care, just so long as someone else is doing it, I think we are in great admiration of this woman. And I think most people, particularly in Australia but around the world, would say what an incredible job she has done right from the word go. And yes, I'm sure there are many things that have broken her heart, but she's expressed a strength and a loyalty and integrity, and as my wife says, she even continues to wear heels at her age. How mad. So yes, but so I thought let's have a look at a king who hasn't done such a good job. Dear old King Solomon. And let's fit with the royalty, as it were, but with the sadness. Now, Solomon was about 900 years before Jesus, around 960 BC, and he was king for around 40 years. I've got on the front of our leaflet today, heart and wisdom. Where was his heart? And did that actually express itself in his wisdom? We say, even today, as wise as Solomon, Solomon's wisdom. But actually, what we say is not quite the story of Scripture. There were a lot of things that were very wise in that man, but he very sadly started so well and ended so sadly. I think that warning is still there for all of us. Just a reminder that being a Christian is not a dash over the sprint line and a collapse. Being a Christian is just a long-term marathon that we need to keep going. And I guess some of you, along with myself, have a sad heart over some friends who started well, youth group people, church people, and now they're nowhere as far as Christian things are concerned. They may have started with a great sprint, a commitment, rally, who knows what, and then they've petered out. Very, very sad. Well, in a way, this is the same story with dear old King Solomon. Started well, but petered out. It seems as if his lifestyle was one of excess, luxury at every level, seemed to deny himself nothing. And yet, if he's the person behind Ecclesiastes, what was the use of it? Is everything just dust and gone? And again, we sometimes have people who were very strong in church stuff, and as time goes on, they get to a point and just say, well, you know, don't care. What does it matter? That's it. So it's very sad. But some of you, and I say thank you, to those of you who have been to see Brian Marks, and he was a lovely part of this fellowship, and now he's confined to just a room. But there's a man who hasn't given up. There's a man who was just so strong in his faith still in his 90s. A wonderful example to all of us. But anyhow, here's the situation. What really was his relationship with God like, and what is yours like? What is mine like? That's the question. That's, I mean, with all of the things God could have put in his book, why is the story of Solomon there? Well, I think it's there, one, because it was historical, but two, because we can easily identify with it. Here is a story of a person. And where is wisdom in action? Belief always has to issue in action. It's no good saying, I believe this, if actually it doesn't work through in our life. Belief has to issue in action. Now, there are a number of things, and in chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles, just flick back. We're in 1 Kings in chapter 3. Starting at verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. And it continues on. And when we come to verse 7 in that chapter, God has said to him, thank you and great what you've been doing, how you've been walking. And so Solomon says in verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, you've made your servant king in the place of the David. I'm only a child. I don't know what to do. I'm in the middle of a whole lot of people. Please give me an understanding mind to govern my people. God had said to Solomon, what would you like me to give you? Now, I wonder if God said to you, what would you like me to give you? Well, what would you like me to do for you? Mr. Box. No, I'm not going to ask you what, but imagine if God said that to you. What would you like me to do for you, Michael? I wonder. It's interesting, Colleen, isn't it? What? Very, yes. Colleen, God says, what would you like me to do for you? How incredible. And here's Solomon. And Solomon says, I've just taken over as the king. I don't know what to do. So please, please give me wisdom to know how to rule these people. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for his enemies to be defeated. He didn't ask for a long life. And the Bible said God was so pleased with him. God was so pleased. It pleased the Lord in verse 10. And God said, because you have asked this and not asked for yourself, how wonderful. I'm going to give it to you. But, he says in verse 14 of chapter 3, if you will walk in my ways, then I'll lengthen your days. You see, you didn't ask for it, but because you've asked for something else, I'll give you extra. How incredible. How incredible. Now, what about us? Are you grateful with what God's given you? Are you happy with what God's given you? Or do you reckon he should have given you a bit more? Do you think he should have given a bit more? Or maybe he could have done things differently. I think that sometimes. Like, I'm so grateful for what he has given and continues to give. But there are some things that he probably could have done a little differently. Do you reckon that, Joan? He could have done things a bit differently sometimes? Oh, isn't that the perfect answer? He couldn't do better than what he's already done. Thank you, Joan. And that wasn't a setup. Right. So, Solomon, his wisdom is worldwide. In chapter 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and a mind that was so large bigger than the sand on the seashore. How incredible. How incredible. And just down a few verses there, leave out all those names in between, but go down to verse 32 of chapter 4. He also uttered 3,000 proverbs. Songs were 1,005. He spoke about trees from Lebanon and the hyssop. He spoke about beasts and birds and reptiles and fish. And people came from all over the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Isn't that incredible? He just asked of God, God, please just give me the wisdom to know how to rule this nation. And look what extra God gave him. I think there's a great lesson in this for us. Like, do we ask of God just selfishly? Or do we ask of God in order that we might bless other people? And in blessing other people, God just pours out heaps of stuff on us beyond what we could have asked. So we think of that prayer, beyond what we could ask, imagine, hope or dream, God gives. Isn't it wonderful that we know this God? Isn't that great, Gail? It is. It is wonderful, and it's good to stop and think about that sometimes when we want more or when we've got the green heart and we're thinking, I'd like what they've got. But actually, look what God gives. So, Solomon prays an incredible prayer there in chapter 8, and God answers his prayer, the prayer that Bev read to us. It's a long prayer, you can see. It goes from verse 14 to 61. It was a long prayer and it's incredible. Read it sometime. But then God answers Solomon's prayer in the prayer that Bev read to us. And God said, my eyes will always be and my heart in this place. As for you, and there are a couple of little cunning words in here, if and but. If you walk in my ways, but if you turn away. So there'll be blessings if you walk in my way. In a way, there will be curses for disobedience. I will withdraw. Now, we just need to be aware of that. Because sometimes we like to play a bit fast and loose with God. You know, God promises never to leave me nor forsake me. Yeah, I know, but I leave him. We can turn our back on him. God's love is constant. Yes, it is. But if I've got my back turned to his love, God doesn't love me anymore. No, actually, he doesn't love me any less. It's just that I've chosen to turn my back rather than my face. We need to be careful about that. Very careful. And so I put those couple of questions. Am I in a privileged position? We are all here in a privileged position. We have all come to know Jesus. How wonderful. Could we be in a more privileged position? No. And then, has God blessed me over and above? Yes, he has. Wonderfully. Wonderfully. Now, there are four areas I want to quickly look at today that were problems for dear old King Solomon and could be problems for us. The first one is that he was living, in a way, in the wrong kingdom. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean this. King Solomon, like some of the rulers today, some of those in authority today, got to the point where he was in charge. Now, God gave him this incredible mind. He was a brilliant statesman. He was incredible in trade. He was very clever in getting people to work for him. He got the trees from here and the gold from here and the this from there and the that from there. Very, very clever. And we have clever people. But the challenge here the challenge here was that he got to a point where he was in charge. We're going to finish our service today, not at this point, but we're going to finish our service today singing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added." Now, he got to a point where he didn't really seek the kingdom of God. We need to be careful about that. We need to be careful that we do continue to seek God and his kingdom and the things that are important for his kingdom, not the things that are important for my kingdom. We talk about the me generation. Everything's about me and the focus on me. Well, it's not new. King Solomon had that problem. The second thing is that Solomon started to honour the wrong gods. Now, I know that we laugh and say, "Oh, no, I'm a Christian, that's only Jesus." Yeah, but you know very well, and I know very well, that there are other things that aren't idols that sit on the mantelpiece. I'm not talking about religious gods. All other things that creep in, that creep in. You know, some of those grey-haired nomads, they quite like the bigger and the better caravans. And actually, there's an upgrading. Some people, you know, you go into their house and they've got a television nearly as big as this wall. What was wrong with the last one? Oh, nothing. We just wanted one bigger. What? Like, we just need to be careful sometimes, don't we? That we don't put our devotion into the wrong things. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Now, as it happened, and I've got it down there in chapter 9, verse 6, and then in chapter 11. But in chapter 9, verse 6, we have this challenge. If you turn aside, you or your children, and do not keep my commands and my statutes, and you serve other gods, I will cut you off. They're fairly severe words from God. Really severe words. And just think of the experiences these people have had of the power of God. Think of Solomon having a conversation with God. How could he turn aside from a conversation with God? But he did. How could we turn aside when we think of what God has done? But people do. We need to be warned. So there is that warning. And then when we get into chapter 11, oh dear me, in chapter 11 he's got into lots of trouble. The Lord was angry, in verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning other gods. God had said to him, "Don't do it." And he did it. Oh, dear friends, when God says don't, it's for our benefit. Not that he's being nasty, but for our benefit. Anyhow, Solomon didn't listen to that. And just as I've got there, the marketplace of desire, just shopping, false sacrifice, false altars, and people do it today. And some people, even as I've said, people who are part of the church have said, "Well, doesn't matter who you believe in so long as you're sincere," all of that sort of stuff. We just need to be very careful about it. So let's be aware, first of all, we can be operating in the wrong kingdom. We can be following the wrong gods. Then, living out of his own wisdom. Ask for what you want. We've looked at that and we saw what God gave. But the Lord said in the section that Bev read. Be warned, be careful, don't go off track. Two personal visits, and here's a self-delusion. I will do what suits me. We just need to all be careful. People who are young, people who are old, people who are in the middle. We need to be careful. And don't we know the human heart is deceitfully wicked? Just imagine now if we sat here the rest of the afternoon and every 5 minutes the things that you were thinking or the things that were on your heart and in your mind were flashed up on the screen. This is Melania's thinking and this is what's really on her heart. Boom, off it goes. Now this is Sue Richardson, what she's thinking. And off it goes. Yeah. The human heart's deceitfully wicked. How wonderful it is that God changes our heart and gives us a new heart. Hearts that once were stone are now flesh. We can now feel and we can now respond to him. And many of you would have learnt that little proverb, wouldn't you? Sunday school, how many of you, shut your eyes, how many of you could recite it? Only one. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yes, many of you would know that. Many, are you going to recite it for us, Gail, are you? Yes, I know. I saw you gossiping. Yeah. So what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Yes. And here we've got Solomon not trusting in the Lord and leaning on his own understanding. What a rat bag. How dreadful. Well, be careful, friends. Don't live out your own wisdom. And then he desired wrong loves. Now, he'd been warned. He had been warned, as the whole nation had, that there were certain groups of people that they were not to intermarry with. Not because the people were less as people, but because they would lead the nation of Israel astray because of their worship of other gods. And God is jealous. He just wants our love and allegiance. So he doesn't want us to be led astray by other people. Now, Solomon had many foreign women. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Well, that's enough to send any bloke into turmoil, I reckon. I don't know how he coped. He must have been up all night doing birthday cards and Valentine's cards and all the rest of it, I reckon, to keep track of all of that. And just imagine the intrigue. Now, while we laugh and we think, oh yeah, what was he up to? A lot of it was political liaison, which were wrong. See, he was told, don't do this, and he did it. But it also says he loved many foreign women, so obviously there was some romantic something else as well. But in that chapter, in chapter 11, the Lord becomes angry. The Lord becomes angry in verse 9 because Solomon's heart had turned from the Lord. Friends, it must be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, particularly when we have been warned about certain things. Don't do this. For your own benefit, don't do it. And we deliberately do it. Well, what can God do? What can God do when we just deliberately do the wrong thing? With our own children, If we say, don't do that, and they do it, well, there's a punishment. And in a way, that's with God too. If we are disobedient, then in fact, that sin separates us from God's love. But he wants us back, of course, through forgiveness. But in the meantime, we live in that separated area. So he had a wrong desire, and that was the outcome. Obedience brings blessing, disobedience brings judgment. Someone has said you are what you eat. Someone else has said you are what you love. And that's probably true too. Where's your treasure? That's where your heart will be. And his treasure became these foreign women. And that's where his heart turned. Now, our heart always desires new grounds. We're always looking around, always looking. What can I have? What can I do? Where can I go? And we need to protect our desires and we need to keep them focused on God. That was the first point. Protect your heart. Protect your heart because that in fact is your life. The heart is deceitful. Yes, the heart is deceitful. Who can cure it? Only God. Let's all guard our hearts. And then what's the last thing? Above all else, guard your affections. Because our heart feels something, our mind agrees, and bingo, we do it. We need to be very, very careful. For, as Proverbs says in the Living, our affections influence everything in our life. So, friends, we need to guard our heart and hopefully learn from Solomon to make sure that we're living in the right kingdom, not the wrong kingdom, that we're following the right God, not the wrong God, that we're following his wisdom, not our wisdom, and our love is correctly directed, not after the wrong things. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, a lot of this stuff is such common sense, and yet we are often so stupid. We often think we know better than you. We often think we can do better than you. We sometimes think we can avoid and that we can get around you. Sometimes we think that the things we're focusing on a sort of half and half, maybe we can justify what we're doing. But Lord, our prayer this morning is that we would not be like Solomon, because Solomon's life ended and the kingdom was divided and people did laugh, and yet he had the power to do so much. So Father, may we be people who have a focus and integrity of heart and mind and a desire to do what is right in your sight. We don't always understand that, so we need your word and we need the guidance of your spirit. So please help us. But Father, there are so many simple things that we can follow, and how grateful we are that along with salvation through Jesus, you have given us over and above all that we could have hoped for or asked for. Thank you. Through Jesus, who is our Lord. Amen.